Good morning, brethren.
Good
morning. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 14 through 16. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Nick, thanks for that reading. Thank you for the song. Got a good number out this morning. Good to see everyone out this Lord's Day morning. Snow's on its way. There I go again giving you the weather report. I don't know why I do that. We all have enough to know what's going to do out there. Thank you for being here. We do have visitors. Thank you for coming. We invite you back at every opportunity. Good people here. Good Christians. We want to go to heaven. We pass on. We want to worship God according to what the Scriptures say. I hope your worship has been beneficial this morning. Edifying, build you up into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. Keep your Bibles out. Hebrews 9:27 says some things that I think have some things to say about, I don't know, they're saying about everyday life as a Christian, as a disciple, what we can begin to, because being a disciple is everyday living, everyday life. Hebrews 9:27 has something to say about that kind of life. The writer says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once," and he says, "after this comes the judgment." You know, there are a lot of translations about that verse. I want to read you some translations that are off the translation list. Some of the translations that I've heard people say, "It is appointed for old people to die." I'm not old, so no worries for me. I think one of the most common translations for Hebrews 9:27 is, this is the regular person's translation, "It is appointed for me to die sometime a really, really long time from now. So I'm not even going to think about it." Young people's translation of Hebrews 9:27 is, "Everybody dies, but I'm young and invincible and I feel great, so not me." And even if you're not young, people read something like this, Hebrews 9:27, "Everybody dies eventually, but I'm in good health and I'm just kind of middle-aged on this. So this verse isn't for me right now." I want to tell you something. Hebrews 9:27 is a challenge for everyday discipleship. And what a challenge it is every day to read a passage like that. Because I'll tell you, Christianity, a lot of Christianity, all of Christianity, is really built on Hebrews 9:27. Maybe the problem that people have about being faithful to Christ and living the Christian life is because they don't think Hebrews 9:27 applies to them. Maybe because a lot of young people are leaving the church, not interested in spiritual matters, eternal matters. It's because, really, they don't believe what Hebrews 9:27 says. That's not going to apply to me. But Christianity, especially, I think, everyday Christianity, is all about what this passage says. This is a real translation. Each person is destined to die, and after that comes judgment. Destined to die. Appointed to die. Certain to die. Jesus Christ came to provide victory over that. Jesus Christ came to provide victory over that final appointment. And that victory that Jesus provides, I'll tell you what, it will change your life. It changes your everyday life. I'll tell you what, we've got to. We have got to stop writing ourselves out of Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27 is for everybody. And it's just not the young people that want to pretend that Hebrews 9:27 doesn't apply to them. Young people go to the house. When you get in the car out of the parking lot, look at your mom and dad and say, "Hey, have you made funeral arrangements yet?" No. You see, we don't like to think about it. We don't like to think, we don't like to talk about death. No one wants to believe it. I read a story about a young preacher one time who took an elder to breakfast. The elder was 85. This is seasonal. And the young preacher looked at the elder and said, "Well, how old are you, brother?" And he said, "Well, I'm 85. And the young preacher said, "Well, I'll tell you what." He said, I don't know if I want to live to be 85. And the wise man looked at him and said, "You will when you are 84. That's exactly right. None of us wants to die. None of us hope to die. And none of us look forward to dying. But Hebrews 9:27 says, sooner or later, it's going to happen to you. If the Lord tarries, every single person in this auditorium is going to die. Not a question of if, it's just when. And we are, in fact, all terminal cases. Morrison said nobody gets out of here alive, and he's right. So when you die, what is that going to be? Is that going to be the beginning of the end? Or is that going to be the end of all the beginnings where your life is new and starts forever in eternity? It's going to happen. I want to talk about victory. I want to talk about victory over death. I want us to look at a passage in Hebrews. Might as well just mark that there. We're going to be looking at that a lot. Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to start, and really I've got some giant ideas out of this text as we're talking about victory over death. And I'm going to be reading really beginning verse 14. And after I read this text, I want to look at three giant truths about having, I guess, keys over the victory of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "Therefore," the writer says, "since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. And through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of death," that is the devil, "and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those that are tempted." You know, you look at that passage, and we need to be honest and candid with ourselves. When we're talking about the subject that we're talking about, we are afraid of death. We are scared of death. Everybody in this room is afraid of dying. In fact, if you think about it, when we're talking about terrorists, and here comes the terrorists, why are we so terrorized about terrorists? Well, they do. They kill people. That frightens us. The slaughter's everywhere. Somebody could bust in this back room, this back door right now, start shooting everybody. My last words would be, "Mickey and Bill, this is your job," and then I'd kill them. No! Nobody's going to stand up and say, "Hey, that looks like John, shoot me!" That's not how that works. We go to the movies and we see the bad guy, the villain, and he's not baking bread and handing out kitty cats. We watch him, we're afraid of him, because why? He's a killer. He's killing people. And that's what we're afraid of. He's the bad guy. Verse 15. "And might free those who fear, have fear of death, and are subject to slavery all of their lives." Yes, sir, all of them. Young, old, middle-aged, we are all afraid of dying. And you know what that does? That results in what this verse says, our enslavement. Now that gets our attention. All of us were free Americans. We live free and above board. Now, when you start talking about us being slaves, I think that gets our attention. Well, verse 15 pointed out that fear of death, that the fear of death, that death is coming someday, you know what that does? That overwhelms you. You think about that. And what that does, that thought of death coming to you someday, you know what it does to your life today? It sets a pace in your life. You think about that. Think about that. We don't want to die. Hey, we don't want to be hit by a drunk driver. We don't want some kind of disease that nobody ever heard of. We don't want to get sick. And that fear that we don't live long, that fear, that, you know what it can do to your life? It can ruin your life. It can ruin how you live. It really keeps you from living. And if it does that, what does it do? It does what this passage says. It keeps you a slave. You're a slave to that. That's where the world is. Think about where the world's at. What's the world do? Because the world knows the reality of death. What's the world into when it comes to death? Distraction. The world's into distraction. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to dream about it. And you know what? Because of that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be involved in a lot of crime. I'm going to do everything I can do to keep from thinking about death. I'm going to have me a great time all the time. You know what the world's doing? The world is into more. More. That's what we want. More thrills, more fun, more sex, more money, more selfish, more amazing moments. Because don't you know that this life, you know what this life is all about? It's all about those moments that take your breath away before you stop breathing. Oh, that's what life is about. That's how people live in the world today. I want that adrenaline rush because that's what life is about. Getting that thrill, that thrill of doing that. That rush. I didn't know we had service. First time I ever heard that. But you know what? It is inevitable for all people. But is that right? They're still enslaved. Enslaved even more, but no. Distract from the reality of the truth. And you know what? I don't want to think about death. You know something? That distraction sort of works. I think we all do that to some point. You know, last time Jimmy and I went on a roller coaster tour, you guys ever do that? Cedar Point was the last place we went, I'm telling you what. Just drove her around. And first one was, I'm not getting on that. And somebody talked her into getting on that roller coaster, I remember that. And we got on that roller coaster, and I mean, the deep turns, 110 mile an hour, our jaws were flapping. We got halfway through, and we got up to that second big hill, you know, and that swings you up, and click, 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 click. And I thought, you know what, it's such a blast. There's no way she can be thinking about doom and gloom. And I looked over at her, and that's all that was on her mind, because she looked at me and said, if I get off this thing, I'm going to kill you. She was not distracted. All the thrill and roller coaster did not help her. But there's lots of people that look for that distraction. Gather our thoughts here for a minute. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon talks about this distraction. Look at verse 1. I want you to notice what Solomon said. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. He's talking about life. So enjoy yourself and behold, it too was vanity. Now, why would he say that? But, and he tried all these distractions. Now, let's look in that chapter. Look at look at verse 2. Laughter, he tried laughter. Verse 3, tried wine. Great works in verse 4. Gardens and parks and pools in 5 and 6. He had slaves in verse 7. There's all the silver, gold, and money in verse 8. He becomes great, popular, and famous there in verse 9. And just all these things you could possibly get involved in, verse 10 and 11. And look at verse 16. He says, for there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as of the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike, what happens to them? They die. They die, he says. Got distracted for a while, but it didn't change the reality of what Solomon's talking about. That fear. So much that he says in chapter 7, look. Look what he concludes there in chapter 7, verse 2. It's better to go to the house of mourning. Chapter 7, verse 2. than to go in the house of feasting. Why? Because that is the end of every man. The living take it to heart, he said. Sorrow is better than laughter. For when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. You know what Solomon says? It's better to go to a funeral than it is to a party, because I'll tell you what, when you're at that funeral, you are made. You are made to think soberly. You are made to think somberly. You are made to think about, wait a minute, the sun really does end. Life really does end. And someday all this fun and all the distractions that I'm involved in, it's going to end. You are made to feel the clink of the heavy chain of the fear of death that wraps around you, and because of that, you are enslaved to death. And that's the point. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. That's where we find Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 14 again. Therefore, he says, since the children share, Hebrews 2:14, flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, Jesus, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. You want to beat death? You want to be victorious over death? There's the verse. Look at this. And it just doesn't say that Jesus destroyed death. I want you to look at it. He destroyed a lot more than death. Jesus destroyed the what? The power of death. What's that? The devil. And that's what this needs to be all about. Because the Hebrew writer, and in fact all of Scripture, doesn't treat death as the real problem. That's not the real problem. The problem is that whatever this thing, it comes from the devil. And the problem is what? Sin. That's the problem. That's the problem that comes from the devil. And I think sometimes the devil uses that technique of distraction, of death, and worrying about death, the fear of death. That, and again, some say, why did he die? You ever thought about it? Why did he die? Well, a lot of people think he died because he just get old and die. A lot of people think he died because scientists haven't figured out a way for the physical body to live forever. That's not it. That's not it at all. Genesis chapter 2. I want you to notice. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 in the beginning. Verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And let them, he says, the Lord God took the man, verse 15, and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. In fact, when you look at the creation account, what happens there? Well, God made it and said it's good. God made it and said it's good. He blessed it. It's good. God created this. Not good. And all through that, there's only one thing in everything that God made that has the potential to be bad at all. Alright? And that's if Adam and Eve does what? Verse 17. If they violate verse 17. And in the third chapter of Genesis, they do that very thing. They violate. And then they did that. When they disobeyed God, they ate of that tree. Death happened. Spiritual death happened.
Amen.
Physical death happened. Death is connected to what? Sin. The day you eat it, you shall surely die. Death enters the world through sin. It is sin that causes death. In sin, what happens? We're separated from what? Source of life. We're separated from the source of life. And so, that's why we die. That's why we die. We need to understand that. We die because we live in a fallen world. We die because we live in a sinful world. We die because we did exactly and have done exactly what Adam and Eve have done, and because of that, it separates us from the source of life, God. The wages of sin is death. You see it? See where we are now? Where are we? We're afraid of death. Because of the enemy of death, the devil. That's what this is all about. You know, there is some fear of death. I got a good wife, I got three kids, seven grandkids, and I can remember when, you know, everybody, your young family and the kids are little, I thought, you know, if something happened to their mom, how tragic that would be, or something happened to me in that stupid truck, how tragic that would be. That would mar their life. It would be so unfortunate. Maybe you're afraid of death because of it is an unknown experience. What's that going to feel like, or what goes on there? What happens next? All of those things. I know we think about it. But what really frightens us about death? You ever think about it? What really frightens you about death? What's in that passage in Hebrews 9:27? You remember what it says? It's appointed. It's expected. We're going to die. What happens then? After that, what? The judgment. After we die, then comes the judgment. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're a sinner, judgment's not going to go well for you. It's not going to go well for you. Well, we're afraid of death because when we die, we're afraid we're going to be lost. We're afraid of death. Let me put it another way. We're afraid of death because we're afraid that when we die, we're going to go to hell. Now, and we're going to stand on judgment day. The devil's going to say, I know him. He lived and did what he wanted to do. He wasn't faithful to you. He's a sinner. He's all mine. That's what we're afraid of. That's what we're afraid of when it comes to death. That body, when he died, the devil's there. And it's just emblematic of what's going to happen to his soul. He belongs to me. That's what we're afraid of. Who then? Who is going to deliver us from this body of sin and hell? What's the writer say? Jesus! Jesus is going to do that. And he's a writer, verse 14, look at it. Broke the power of the devil, that through death he might destroy the one that has power over death. Jesus did that. And he's talking about the devil there. Jesus did what? Shed in blood. Jesus shed in flesh and blood, so that through his death and what? His resurrection, that he destroyed the power of death, because he has won that for you and I. How? Through the forgiveness of our sins. That's how Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. He did something that we cannot do. What are you doing about that? Really? What have you done about that? Did you buckle up? You wear a hard hat at work? Huh? I take my Flintstone vitamins every day, eat broccoli, veggies, stay away from red meat, except Katie's. Brett, Katie's favorite burger. There's not anything you or I can do about this. No. To ultimately save the hand of death. We are utterly and totally dependent on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Totally. Folks, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ, his death, and his resurrection. And by the way, again, it's all about it. That's why we worship him. That's why we're here. We're going to remember him. He paid the price for our sins. Look at verse 17. Dying in our place. What did he do? Nothing more than broke the grip of Satan. Look what he says. Therefore, he had to be made what? Like his brethren in all things, so that he might become what? A merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation. Propitiation. Atonement. Standing in your place. One writer says that Jesus was death to death. He's right. He's victorious. He's victorious over death. He shatters the fear of death. That's what our Lord and Savior does. Because he overcame it. He won forgiveness of sins for you and I. And we no longer have to fear death because of the death that Jesus got. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says, I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. That's what our Lord and Savior did. It's all about him. He has won the victory over death that we should not even begin to fight. Which means thirdly, Look at verse 18 of Hebrews 2. How that can really help us, knowing that, can really help us be alive. He says, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. How could you really live today if you weren't afraid of death? Just think about it. How could you live if you had no fear of death? How would you live?
Kill myself living,
Jackson said. You know, the story about a fellow that died, he did this experiment, and he laid out this tube before, 20 feet long, he laid on the ground, put $1,000 on the other end. Here comes some folks, offered him $1,000 to take a walk on that tube before and get that money. Well, everybody took him up on it. He lost a lot of money. Close to a gorge, 10-foot gorge, 500 feet of rock and crevices below. And so there was plenty of tube before on each side of that gorge, and put the money on the other side. Same deal. Walk across that. No tape. Fine. See? Same board, same deal. No. You see what fear does to you? See how fear captures us? And we're subject, as the Hebrew writer says, to a lifelong fear. We're slaves to that death. But once we knew victory in Jesus, what if you weren't afraid to die? What if it wasn't over you like that all the time? What if you knew that on Judgment Day, the devil would make all those accusations? But Jesus will look at you and say, look at him and say, he's mine. He's mine. I have forgiven him. He walked in the path that I laid out. I've redeemed him. I paid the price for his sin. You don't get him. What if we believed that? What if we knew that? You know what? I'll tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't distract myself all the time worried about what I was going to die or not. If I truly believe that, and really how sweet life could be. How truly and fully you could live your life today if you did not fear death. Think about that. I know fellows who did. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. See how good life can be. Paul here, he's in a Roman prison. Listen to what he says in verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will, even now, as always, I'm in this prison, be exalted in my body, whether by life or, Paul says, by death. Paul says, I'm not afraid to die. For to me, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose. I don't know. But I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better, very much better. And yet to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Die and go to heaven. Stay, work in the kingdom. Oh, I'm hard pressed between two places. That man's not enslaved to fear. He's not afraid at all about death at all, because why? Why? Paul has found forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Paul has recognized the victory over death in Jesus Christ. Paul knows and believes that when he dies, he is secure in his faith. He's going to heaven. That's why. And that's the secret. And really the secret there in verse 18, Jesus is able to help those who are tempted in all things. Why? He's tempted just like us. What he does, he helps us conquer temptation. He helps us avoid living distracted. And you know what he does? When you sin and when you fail, folks, he forgives you. Stop fearing death. Our Lord and Savior, who we serve, gave his life that we might have victory over death. That we'll not look at every kind of distraction and wander about this life. See that? The world says, you bunch of dumb bunnies, I'm telling you what. All of you, you're missing out on all the fun, all the things that we're involved in, all the things that we're doing. But the Christian says, no, no. No, I'm seeking things that are eternal. I'm seeking things that are real. Life is about not this life. Life is about Jesus Christ. That's who I serve. My life's about eternal life, and I'm not distracted at all from it because of death. I'm going to be honest. Think about it. Stop being afraid of death. Did you get up this morning and you're doing the same? Did you think, hey, today might be the day? Did anybody think about that? Do you know it could be your day today? Today might be the day. Have you ever thought about that? Today, you know what? If today's the day, that's all right. That'd be just fine. If today's not the day, you know what? It'd be all right. It'd be just fine. Can you believe that God wants you to live that way? The Bible speaks that way. This writer speaks that way. And you know what? If I have that in me, you know what I can do with this life? I can live fully in this life. I can live confidently in this life. Why? Because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of death. I don't make it through the day. If I do make it through the day, only Christians live that way. The world doesn't live that way. How can I live that way? Because I'm in Jesus Christ. And my sins have been forgiven. I don't fear death. I don't fear death. You ever see what happens when people try to break the fear of death? You see those different things you can Google? I like that one video where they got those bat things on and they fly from top of high mountains through these valleys and stuff. And they're hanging from cell phone towers, taking those selfies and all that. See those things? You know what they do? I see the death. I see the death. I came so close to death and I see the death. You know what's going to happen to those people? One of them might flip. And you all see every once in a while somebody flips when they try to keep death, and they fall to their death. But you know what happens if they don't fall to their death? They're going to get hit by a truck. They're going to die. They're going to die. Every video you ever seen of anybody and everybody you ever seen, if the Lord again tarries, they're going to get old, they're going to die, something's going to happen, they're going to keep death. They can't. But I tell you what, in Jesus Christ, you can beat death because you have victory in Him. And the very knowledge of that will help you live every single day to this full. Not worrying about death. Life really is. And you think about, if your life is just a day in, day out, living those lives of distraction to keep you from thinking about and fearing death, what a most pitiful life you have. What a pitiful life you have. Because there's a way to be victorious. And I'll tell you what, if somebody taught you a way to be victorious, folks, I'm telling you what, you need to grab that with both hands. You need to grab that by both hands. Don't reject the gospel. Don't reject what's been given to us. I want to look at two quotes. One of them is in 1 Corinthians 15. But I'll read that in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's turn there, I'll have that ready. But this other quote is about a young man, and you don't need to know the background of the young man's story. I'll put it this way, I know a preacher that married his son. He was in this wedding. This young man's name was Christian Shadburn. He served with one of the ushers at this wedding, and when the new groom threw the ceremonial garter, a million guys jumped for it. Excuse me, Christian, cop. When Christian was 20 years old was when that wedding happened, and he was young, he was good looking, and he had his whole life in front of him, and about a year later, he was diagnosed with a horrific form of cancer, and even though Christian fought very hard, this past May, he lost his life, the year this month. Death claimed another victim. Or did it? When the doctors acknowledged that there was nothing more that they could do for Christian, I tell you what he did. He assured his family in every way that he could assure his family. He assured him of his faith, and his sister-in-law wrote this quote, and this is what I want to quote here, about him. He says, during his last few days on earth, Christian made it unmistakably clear to us that he knew where he was going. He wanted nothing more than to reach that promised rest and to bring others there with him. Christian knew how many people loved him so dearly. He anticipated this being difficult for everyone. However, he took every opportunity to remind us to dry our tears, to be happy for him, and do everything we can one day to reach that goal ourselves. He did it. He did it. He beat death. First Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says in verse 54, "But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." That's what it means to have victory in Jesus. Like this. That's what it means to have victory over death. Please get out the song, brother. We'll sing the numbers that Jackie has chosen. If you're not a Christian, your death will not be a pleasant thing. The judgment will not be a pleasant thing. Hebrews 9:27. Those words will be in your mind for all eternity because he will be lost. The Lord is coming. He is coming to take vengeance on them that do not know him and that do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It's what we preach here. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If he's not done that, you're lost. You will be lost." Don't let death be the victory. Find victory in Jesus Christ. Live fuller today and live fuller for all eternity. Please come. That's together we stand and pray.